I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music Podcast. My name is Joe Lynch and I'm sitting here with Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
And Andrew Unterberger.
Oh, thanks for having me, Joe.
Thanks for joining us.
No Lindsay.
Lindsay. Wait, what's she? Is she just taking the day off or playing hooky?
Oh, Lindsay.
So lazy. Lazy Lindsay. That's what we like to call her around the office.
Yeah.
And this is the return from like a couple week absence from Must Hear Music, right?
Yeah, we had, what did we have? I guess there was Grammys and then the office closed early one day unexpectedly. I showed up and I was like, I'm going to do a podcast today. And they were like, no, you're not. They're like, unless you want to record it this instant.
Might have snowed at some point.
The building. The security guards.
Exactly.
Stop right there, podcast fan.
Yeah, exactly. It was weird. The security guards like grabbed me by the scruff of my neck and was like, there's going to be no podcast under my watch.
Very but, you sad. Tough affair.
Yeah. Anyways, though. So, yeah, let's dive in. And, you know, this is famously our first, or rather our last podcast before the 2019 Oscars.
Ooh.
Really a momentous podcast.
Wow. I mean, we're finally going to talk about Shallow on this podcast?
We've talked about multiple Star Is Born songs.
Yeah, I feel like we've been talking about a lot of Ariana Grande and a lot of Star Is Born this last year.
Yeah.
But yeah, so let's start with one of your picks, Jason.
Sure.
Pink, new Pink song.
Oh,
new Pink single from a new Pink album.
Yeah, Take Me Home.
Isn't it Walk Me Home?
Walk Me Home.
Right. All right, a little fact check. Yeah.
I'm thinking of, I got Phil Collins on my head.
Always. Yeah, so let's talk about that new Phil Collins song.
I wish. Walk Me Home, new Pink single, produced by Peter Thomas, who I've known for a long time, and this is a big look for him, so shout out to Peter. This song has grown on me. I know.
Andrew's
looking at me a little bit incredulously.
Also, it hasn't been up for like 24 hours.
Yeah. It's grown on me over the past 3 hours.
Those hours and hours of radio inundation, yeah.
I mean, you, Andrew, described this song, or at least the chorus of this song, as very Mumford-esque.
It wasn't me who described it as that, but I did blanch hearing somebody else describe it as that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
If you remember.
All right, I would take issue with that and say it's Lumineers-esque.
Oh, boy. Is that better or worse than Mumford-esque?
Probably worse.
Wow. Of Monsters and Pink, some would say. But, no, I like this song. I think that, look, it falls short of her most immediate lead singles, like Blow Me One Last Kiss is such a great Pink song. You think of So What from Funhouse.
Yeah.
But, you know,
even What About Us from the last album, I think, was a very strong song.
That's a song that did grow on me.
I 100% agree.
Watching the Lifetime Achievement Award performance that she did at the Brits, and that was kind of the big climax. I was like, actually, the song kind of goes. I didn't remember it doing that.
Mm-hmm. That song was on pop radio for months and months and months and months. It'll be interesting to see how this song does. It's certainly a little bit of a left turn for her, but I think that chorus is so big, and it is Mumford-esque. It's very stomping, and it's a little less pop than I think we're used to from Pink, who's, you know, one of the most successful pop artists of this century. I think it'll be interesting to see how this song progresses, not only on our charts but on pop radio. But I kind of like it. Like I like the enormity of it, and it really goes for it in a way that I appreciate. You know, it's, and I guess you could say that of any Pink lead single. Like it's very big and ambitious, but I think the change-up here is appreciated, but you seem to disagree.
Well, it is definitely a big song. I'll give you the size. It's a big song, and it feels like an authentic Pink song, and that's all you can really ask from her, especially at this point in her career where she's already had 20 years of hits. Yeah. She's already, in the Hall of Fame or whatever, pop canonization you want to give her. Like, she doesn't need to prove anything at this point. I'm not ready to go back to Mumford Esk. Like, that moment lasted a very long time, and it was not necessarily my favorite moment in pop
Did
history.
Did it last a very long time?
Yeah, I'd say I got like a good 2 years out of it, which for like banjos and stomping is a long time on pop radio in the 21st century, I would think.
What was like the Folktronica song that just came out? Why am I blanking? There was like a Folktronica
hit. God, was there? Like hit. Just now?
Yeah, just like a couple months ago, and we were talking about...
Oh, boy.
Like, it's back to the...
Yeah, that does sound vaguely familiar, but I've since blocked it from my memory,
Wake Me Up,
I think. Yeah.
Kind of deal.
Yeah, like Wake Me Up, Story of My Life, Timber to a certain extent. Like, it was fun for a minute, but it just lasted longer than it should have. And I'm not ready for the retro. Oh, remember like Mumford Core? Like, no.
Oh, I know what it was. It was Miley and Mark Ronson. Nothing Breaks Like.
Oh, yeah, that's different though.
Great
that's
song. That's
great.
Song.
Yeah. I'm saying that was more like the Folktronica. That's very much like Wake Me Up.
Sure.
Does that song no favors to compare it to those songs? I think. But, whatever. It's not a bad song, and it sounded pretty good in that Brits performance. And it'll sound natural on pop radio, maybe. I don't want to hear it again too many times,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I don't know if I see it really having much of a pop radio life, but I feel like at this point, like probably smartly, she's aiming really more for like adult contemporary. I mean, like, sadly, like the way just things work in pop music, like... You reach a certain age, especially if you're a woman, like pop radio is just going to start ignoring you. And I feel like, she's 20 years into her career at this point. Like, the smart thing to do really is to kind of like focus on either like these kind of big anthemic stuff that, will appeal to a slightly older audience. Someone who kind of just wants something that is sort of catchy, but, doesn't have any rough edges. She couldn't honestly do another Blow Me One Last Kiss. I mean, she could, and I would be happy with it, but that's not the kind of thing that's like going to get her radio play. Whereas like, I feel like this could really have a substantial like long shelf life at AC.
And my favorite song off of the last album, Beautiful Trauma, was the title track to that album, the second single,
which was
more in that kind of Blow Me One Last Kiss, that kind of like frisky and fun and sort of explosive pop song.
Yeah.
Peaked like number 88, I think, on the Hot 100.
I know.
It had an absolutely invisible radio presence, so that sort of goes to what you're talking about, Joe, and that lane just doesn't seem to be there for her anymore the way it used to be, and that's a shame, but this is still a lane that she's found a lot of success in and probably will continue to do.
I guess what I'll say is I'm very excited to hear this song live. Like, if this is like a song in the middle of a Pink
I don't
concert.
Believe that you're very excited to hear that, Jason. I'm sorry. I gotta blow the whistle on that one. I don't. Very excited, really.
Yeah. Blow the whistle all you want. I think
you're gonna be in the front row screaming,
"Walk me home, come on, let's take a walk, Pink." That would be hard to do since I live in New Jersey, but I think that in the middle of like a Pink concert, she's gonna drop "Walk Me Home."
Horns just blowing everywhere.
Yeah, it's "Walk Me Home" time, and I think I'm gonna enjoy the hell out of it.
All right, hope you do, sincerely.
I mean, one thing, and I guess I didn't weigh in whether I like it. I think it's decent. I'm probably somewhere between both of you.
Yeah, I guess, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting. I guess what I'm saying is I like it more than I did a couple hours ago.
You've grown a lot since then, Jason. Yeah. I mean,
it's been 2 days. I've listened
Lots
to it every day.
In the last 20
but
minutes.
I don't think it's an amazing single, but I definitely like it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, one thing I'll say, too, also, it does seem a bit like a left turn, but... shout out to You and Me, her folk side project. Like, she
that was a good album. I like that album.
Yeah, she does have she knows her way around the folk music.
Yeah.
So let's listen to it. It's a new Pink single, "Walk Me Home," from an album. I don't think we have the title right for the new album.
I think we do, and I'm blanking on
Damn.
It. So
all right.
I'll look it up while we listen.
Failure
while we
all
listen
around.
To "Walk Me Home."
All right, here it is, new Pink. All right, that was new Pink. Andrew, let us go with one of your picks.
Let us, yeah.
Which one do you want? Let's start with Doja Cat and Rico Nasty. Tia Tamara.
Tia Tamara, yeah. All right, so this is a song by two very, like, you know, the up-and-coming, limber, like very funny and fun MCs. They're both kind of nasty, but in, like, a sort of, like, a teenager way, like, in a way where you're, like, it's kind of, like, 12-year-old humor, but you know, not quite as pure as that might imply. And I first really got into Rico a couple of years ago. She had a little Yachty collab called Hey Arnold.
Incredible remix.
And she's been consistently excellent since, I found. So this is a collab with Doja Cat, who you probably remember from two things last year. Yeah. One of them was her viral video Move that you know, Billboard offices were absolutely head over heels for a little while, and then
head over who?
Head over what? No, I'm not giving you that one. But and then obviously her career hit a little bit of a roadblock there. She got kind of, I guess you would, what's the phrase, milkshake ducked, or you know, milkshake cowed, as it were.
Sure.
With you know, they found old tweets of hers where she'd used the hard F word in a number of very inappropriate ways, and then she tried to apologize for it, but the first apology wasn't great.
The apology
might have been worse than the original offense.
It was, actually. She was like, oh, a teenager like said that when they were teen, yeah, like whatever, and then the apology was like, I think it ended with, do I hate gay people?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
She kept using, like, the word in her apology tweets. No, so not a great look all around there. And she was, you know, kind of publicly shamed for it, probably deservedly so. To me, it wasn't necessarily like a cancelable, we can't pay attention to anything this artist does again sort of offense. You know, you know, where you land on that is totally, you know, up to you. But I like this song a lot. It's another, like, you know, it's a very enjoyable, very humorous, very, like, quirky, and a lot of kind of unexpected lyrical turns. The chorus, the main hook is "My twin's big like Tia Tamara," which, of course, a reference to Tia Tamara Mary of Sister Sister fame.
Of course, Sister, shout out.
And I just love that they don't over-explain the reference. They just kind of, you know, if they don't even say Tia and Tamara, they just say Tia Tamara.
Mm-hmm. Those who know, know.
Those who know, know. If not, moving on. And it's also just still kind of a rare thing for two female MCs to hook up on the same song together and not, like, have that be the point of the song, like, in a kind of super group ladies' night sort of way. It's pretty rare to have just, like, hey, this is, like, this is my friend MC, like, who's also, like, fits along with me, what I do lyrically, what I do sonically. It's a really natural pairing, and I'd love to see more of the two of them together.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I would say my sort of... my thought was, I was like, oh, that's a really, like, yeah, my twin's big like Tia Tamara. I was like, one, I'm happy to think about Sister Sister. Two, that's a funny line. I always enjoy, like, a good, you know, 14-year-old level sure, sex joke. But I would say it does wear a little thin, at least. Like, they repeat it quite a bit. I would have appreciated maybe a little more variety with that.
Yeah, they kind of take, like, the Migos Hannah Montana approach to the title.
They definitely milk it for all it's worth. The video is great, though. It's like a Family Feud type setup.
Oh, speaking my language there, Joe.
Sort of a 90s vibe. Yeah, I mean, hey, yeah, exactly. But it's good. No, I mean, they're both great musically, I think, and I dig it. But yeah, like I said, it maybe overstays its welcome a little bit.
Yeah, I love this song.
I was confident you'd be with me on this.
Yeah, this is certainly in the Jason zone. I pulled up the lyrics because there's so many, like, you know, obviously, look, the Tia Tamara simile is what anchors the song, but you have also lines like "cheese like pizzeria," "have a seat, please, IKEA." I also enjoy "bent the whole world over and said spank you very much." Just like the image of, like, literally Doja Cat bending the entire world over and spanking the world as we know it. "Hits like Venus Serena." "I'm in the hall, comma, Regina." Like,
pretty good.
And my favorite, "skinny legend like Wiz Khalifa." Like, great. Just, you know, Doja Cat up on her simile game. But yeah, obviously I've been a Rico Nasty fan for a long time. Her album last year was incredible. And yeah, I mean, I didn't know I needed to pay attention to Doja Cat. Yeah. But I guess I do. Like, this song, like, I could see this song being, like, a pretty sizable hit, honestly.
I don't know if I go that far.
Yeah, I don't know if I go that far either. I mean,
I don't know. I could definitely see this, like, being, like, a big club hit, like, for sure.
I could see it being kind of like a viral underground hit. Like, I don't think we're hearing this on Hot 97.
Oh, no, I don't think so either. But I guess big hit, I'm thinking more like just hearing it, like, constantly.
Yeah, like maybe like the the Lizzo juice mold, maybe.
Sure. But, yeah.
We'll see. Hopefully.
I'm all about it. All
right. Well, let's listen to it. It's Tia Tamara from Doja Cat. And
actually, but before we play the clip, I do have to interrupt you with one question, because the best bars for the song were not saved in the actual lyrics. Have you seen the headline that Tia and Tamara Mowry have been involved with recently?
Yes, I did see that. That was something I didn't need to know, I'll be honest. But please, share us.
Jason's about to find out about it here. Yeah. The headline of one of many is, Tamara Mowry drinks twin sister Tia Mowry's amazing breast milk.
Oh, okay, cool. I guess. I don't know.
I was like, well, that's one way to stay in the headlines.
Wow, that's another, like, this. There was a Hillary Duff breast milk thing that
with
also...
Haley?
No, not it wasn't.
Haley Duff's drink sister's amazing.
No, one of Hillary Duff's younger co-stars on her show, drank her breast milk, and that was like a Twitter moment. So, wow.
I will say, while we're on the subject, one of my favorite viral videos, this is a throwback, is this British kid. I think he's 8, and he was like still drinking breast milk, and he was like, it's delicious. It's better than a mango. And it's, I think about that probably
that
constantly.
All right.
It's exactly what it sounds like.
Cool.
So shout out to him.
Shout out to him.
He's given me many laughs. Anyways, that was a little weird detour. Let's listen to it. Tia Tamara from Doja Cat and Rico Nasty. Hair go long like Chia. Money go long like Nia. I ain't a big idea. My twin's big like Tia. My twin's big like Tia Tamara. Why? Tia Tamara.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Thank you for letting me take us on that detour.
Yes. Yeah. I wouldn't have had it any other way. All right, that was Tia Tamara. We're going to do one of my picks now. So we've got the song Tatiana from Blueface, which is a pretty substantial hit. I think it just entered top 20 on the Hot 100. And what's certainly going to give another little goose is a remix just dropped with YG and Cardi B. So Tatiana, Blueface, you know, this has been said before, but like his flow is just so crazy. Like it just like almost comes nowhere near the beat. Like he's like basically like rapping an entirely different song, and then they just like came up with a beat and they were like, well, this doesn't go together, but I don't know, whatever. I've just been like, I cannot stop listening to Tatiana. Like, it's such a bizarre, weird song. You know, it's like, I think it's a hair under 3 minutes. It's just one of those things. It ends, has that crazy little plinking piano, similarly kind of amateurish. Like, it sounds like a first year piano student just kind of like, you were like, hey, write a song, and they like hit like five notes and they were like, I don't know, does that work? It's just great though, but like it seems like all those things would be negative, but they somehow like have this incredible alchemy. I'm just a big fan of it. I'm a big fan of him. His other song, Respect My Crippin, is a jam. And both of those are kind of these like 2-3 minute like great songs. What I will say is as much as I love Cardi B's verse on this, it's very funny. I guess this is a very blue podcast. she has a line about his breath smelling like P-word and mimosas. This is just like an incredible image. But this, the additions of YG and Cardi B kind of bring the song up to 5 minutes. I don't know if the song needs to be 5 minutes. You know, there's like, it is pretty musically simplistic. At 5 minutes, you're kind of like done with it by the time it wraps up. But we hadn't talked about Tatiana on this podcast
yet. Is that
true? So
I guess we haven't.
We have not. So, you know, shout out Blueface. Jason.
Great. I mean, look, how can you not love this song?
How can you not shut up, Blueface?
How can you not, Joe? How can you not shut up?
I don't know.
The remix is whatever to me. I mean, it will obviously boost the profile of the song. It just seems to be sort of the standard path for a viral rap hit like this, is just to get, you know, the Kendrick and Drake cosigns and then like a Cardi remix and a YG remix. Like, it's all kind of standard and doesn't really elevate the song to me, which I think is already great. But, you know, good for Blueface. I guess that is literally my reaction to this remix, is good for Blueface. I don't need to hear the remix again, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, I you know, what's interesting about this remix is that it's basically like a cobbled together version of two remixes. Like, there was the one featuring YG and then the one featuring Cardi B. And they're just kind of like, you know, like they did the maxi single version of all three in the same song. And like, yeah, I agree with you, Joe. Like, it doesn't need, you don't need this song at 5 minutes. Although, like, it's I never really get sick of that piano riff. It can go on for 20 minutes as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, the part of the song's charm is that it kind of gets in and gets out. And this remix does undercut that a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I love the song. This is going to be one of the songs of 2019. It's the same. The same feeling. It was like the first time I heard Mo Bamba last year. It was just like, okay, this song doesn't totally make sense, but like, there's something about it that just clicks in a way that no other song this year kind of does. And I think we're gonna still be talking about the song at the end of the year. It's
I think it's definitely a song of summer sort of thing. Never too early to
never
start
too early
thinking
no.
about that, because historically songs of the summer come out February, March. So.
Ooh.
Keep her ears open. But anyways, all right, let's listen to it. Thotiana, Blueface featuring Cardi B and YG.
Bust down on the ghetto.
Cardiana. I was cool with my kid, Mamiana. Real bitch, I don't be with all that drama.
Nah.
Money, my business, I'm bobbing. I ain't dragging, I'm lit.
Like a tick.
Stop clapping back, bitch, I'm clapping on the dick.
On the dick.
Bust it, I'm a savage. Bitch, throw it back like a 10-year chance.
Whoa.
Take him to the crib, then I push him on the sofa. Have his breath smelling.
All right, that was the Thotiana remix. Jason, you picked a wonderful, wonderful song.
Wow.
Smelling, the 3L spelling artist.
Spelling?
Spelling.
Oh, I thought you said smelling for a second, and I was like, wait a minute. No. So, Spelling. What song did I pick from the album?
Under the Sun. Yes.
Yeah, so Spelling is, I'm pulling up her name because I don't want to... mess it up. It is the project of singer-songwriter Christia Cabral. I hope I'm... I apologize if I'm not pronouncing that correctly. My last name is Lipschutz. I never want to pronounce anyone's name. But she's from the Bay Area. This is her second album that's Spelling with three L's, if anyone is
nearly impossible to Google. Google Spelling music and see what comes up.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, not this artist.
Yeah. But this album just came out today, actually, Maisie Fly, and I love it. Like, it's very experimental. The song structures are kind of all over the place. Her voice is used mostly as like an instrument as part of this kind of kaleidoscopic experimental electronic music. And you know, it veers in and out of a lot of different themes and a lot of different ideas and sounds. I love Under the Sun. I think it's one of the highlights. I think it actually came out before this album. But I've been listening to this album for the past week and a half, I would say, and it's just hypnotic. Like it's increasingly harder, I find, for like an independent artist to really break through the clutter. Spelling's on, I believe, Sacred Bones Records.
Mm-hmm. It's a great label. They're very good at selecting artists.
Yeah, and it's just I think it, you know, so much of the conversation, especially with streaming, is about. What's in the top 50 and, you know, what's bubbling up in the hip-hop world and the pop world. And, you know, obviously there's a very, like, vibrant indie scene, but it takes a lot to really cut through the
For
clutter.
Sure.
It kind of feels like this is happening with this album. It got a pretty high review on Pitchfork today. Stereo Gum. I think Tom wrote about it at Stereo Gum. And, yeah, I've just been really, really enjoying this one. I'm curious, but it seems like you like it as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I'm glad you picked this because I had not listened to it yet, and I love it. I mean, this is totally up my alley. You know, it's kind of the the old like 70s Kraftwerk style synthesizers.
Definitely, yeah.
you know, little Ladytron-esque. You know, ooh. I like kind of the you know, the experimental electronic
the cold, pioneer the cold
music.
Eastern European.
100% cold Eastern European techno. But yeah, and it's also, you know, sort of a side note, it kind of reminds me of a pretty, like, forgotten, like, movement in music. There was a while where, like, the Bay Area was kind of this crux of, like, electronic, synthy, like, very ethereal type musicians. And she very much, maybe not in sound, but in kind of her whole thing, because she's very much, like, this project was inspired by, I believe, the death of a close friend. She's like, oh, these, you know, things kind of come to me in dreams. And, you know, she's very kind of, like, mystical about where this whole project comes from. And that kind of speaks to this history of those kind of artists coming out of the Bay Area.
Yeah,
don't have much to add. I like the song a lot. I look forward to listening to the whole album. Love Sacred Bones, Jenny Vall.
I love Jenny Vall.
Marissa Nadler. You know, like it's a very cool label. They have very good quality control. And yeah, I'm looking forward to digging in on this one.
Cool.
So, all right, it's an all around winner.
Now let's listen to this
all around.
Let's listen to this and talk about Rob Thomas, baby.
All right,
let's go.
Spoiler.
Yeah, come on. All right, Spelling with three L's. Spelling song is called Under the Sun. All right, we are going to, despite Jason's tease, we're going to put Rob Thomas on ice for the moment.
Oh, you want to save it for last?
Save the best for last.
Okay.
We're going to talk about Adam Lambert's new song now, cool. Feel Something. So this is one
Feel
of my picks.
Something.
I have to say, so Adam Lambert has a new song. You know, he's at this point, how long ago was his last album?
Has he not original had an album high. Since Trespassing? Since
no, he had Original High, which was, I think, 2015?
Right. I was going to say 15 or 16.
Oof, I have no memory of that one.
It was
good. 15 because I was, yeah, I remember that.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, this it's been
wait, what year was Your Beloved Rebel Heart?
2015,
I
think.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Ghost Town.
Come
on. I apologize for besmirching the memory of Ghost Town, obviously. Of the
Madonna's Ghost Town, great song. Anytime. Yeah, we haven't talked about Rebel Heart on this podcast in a while.
Probably like 2 weeks ago.
Anyway, so new Lambert song. It's been a while since we've heard from him. You know, at this point, especially with, you know, the Oscars and Bohemian Rhapsody, like, kind of people, if anything, we've been hearing about him in the context of Queen and, you know, Freddie Mercury's legacy and him kind of stepping into those shoes. So it's good to have, like, something Lambert, like him doing his art, his songs. I really like this. It's a ballad, but I love that it's a very understated. Like, a lot of ballads, especially ones that he's done, like, really go big, like he's just singing to the skies and, you know, like putting his heart all out there. This is kind of like the lyrics, there's like a sad yearning to it. Like, Feel Something is in reference to, like, he just wants to feel like something, anything. And I appreciate that the song, you know, that his vocal performance is a little, he holds back a bit. And it kind of like doubles down on this kind of like sad, you know, I hate to say almost like patheticness to it, but it's, you know, it's a little bit in the Sam Smith gospel-y lane. It's good. I really like. I hope this has a chart life. I'm excited to hear more. But what do you think? You're a Lambert.
I love Adam Lambert. I don't know. I don't think like the slower sound really suits him. Just because like look, I'm glad he's back, but I think that yo, give me Ghost Town. Give me like the more upbeat parts of Trespassing, which was like one of my favorite albums of that year. Yeah, you know, like I said, it certainly seems like he's teeing up for something, like a new project, and that's a little bit more up tempo. And I don't know. This left me a little cold. Sad to say, Joe.
You didn't feel something.
I didn't feel something.
Yeah, I'll admit that I only got to listen to this one once. It didn't really make a huge impression on me. Like Jason, I kind of prefer my Adam Lambert guns blazing. This one, I don't know. I'll revisit it at some point. Hopefully, Pop Radio will give me that chance. But yeah, this didn't necessarily did not grab me in the feels.
All right. Well, yeah, no, one out of three.
But I did like, he had a song a couple years ago called Two Fucks that got no attention whatsoever that I actually thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe, one for two. It's not a bad strike, right?
Quick aside about Two Fucks. I saw Queen and Adam Lambert a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And it must have been right around when Two Fucks came out. And he was like, they took a break from the Queen songs to play Two Fucks.
Future
and
classic,
and
sure.
It was just great, like, seeing everyone else's, like, reaction. Like, all the Queen fans in attendance.
Wasn't that
like, what
so
the
they're
hell?
Playing the Oscars. Isn't that they're going to do Two Fucks?
Maybe they'll do Feel Something. You never know.
That's true. Maybe they'll do a medley.
Yeah. What if they do both Ghost Town?
Oh my God, Madonna comes out.
Very quick shout out to Adam Lambert's Ghost Town, though. That song is a monster.
That song made such an impression on like the 10% of the population that was actually like familiar with it. Like it really wasn't that big a hit, but like anybody who loved that song, like that stands as kind of the pop songs from that period.
Man, what a great song that
truly.
Is.
Yeah, it was a great song.
Love a good whistle hook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring back the whistle hook.
Yeah.
It seems like it's been a while. And by a while, I mean probably like 6 months. I could have
6 months too long.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, let's listen to it. Adam Lambert, Feel Something.
Every kiss I wasted, I don't need for love. Just want to feel something. Just want to feel something. Just want.
That was new Lambert. Next and certainly next last, but certainly not least, we have Rob Andrew. I'm glad
can't
we
say Rob Thomas's
invited
name
you on this. Just to, yeah, sure. That you picked a Rob Thomas song. So we have Rob Thomas, One Less Day, parentheses, Dying Young.
So yeah, I heard this song on New Music Friday this morning, and as I was listening to it, I was like, God damn it, this is gonna have to be my second song on the obviously not one of the hipper songs on New Music Friday this week. Not just a song, like even the cover, like he's doing this Phil Collins type thing. Sorry, another Phil Collins reference on this podcast. But he's doing this Phil Collins type thing now where all of his like cover art is just like his head.
Yes.
I noticed that.
Which it's a choice. I mean, like it's not like Phil Collins was Fabio either. But it's interesting. But the song itself, I mean, look, this is not a song that's gonna make radio. This is not a song that's gonna be talked about much outside of this podcast, but I think it's a really good song. It's a very powerful song to me. It's a song about it's about not fearing the future and kind of embracing actually like living a full and long life. And because he kind of makes the point of the song that not everybody gets to do that. And he talks about like friends of his who have died, and how like that what a tragedy that was. And he, in the chorus of the song, says, "I'm not afraid of getting older. It's one less day from dying young." And it's like, fuck
that.
Fuck
honestly,
right,
is
Rob
a really
Thomas.
Good line. Yeah, I have like, to say, when I started listening to it, I was like, I don't know about this. Like, it sounds hokey, like, musically a bit, but the lyrics are honestly really good.
Yeah, the general positivity of the song is, like, really kind of infectious.
And, there's not a lot of rock songs that are, about getting older in a way that's, it's either, like, the sort of, like, dying young thing, or it's, occasionally rock stars will sing about it a little tongue-in-cheek, like, look how grandpa-ish
right,
I am.
Sure.
But like, this is a very, like, mature viewpoint.
Yeah, the rare, it's better to fade away than to burn out take. You don't hear it very often in rock and roll. But it's fun. And it's got, like, a nice 80s gallop to it. Like, it kind of reminds me of St. Elmo's Fire, that timeless John Parr classic from 1985. And like he in general, he has this very 80s thing to him, Rob Thomas, where his music just has no concept of irony whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
It's all very much on the surface. It's all very straightforward. As you're saying, the viewpoint is just generally kind of underrepresented, I think. And it spoke to me this morning, Joe. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Jason,
I love it.
Right, let's
give
have
me all
it.
In.
Yeah.
I'm all in on this song. Give me Rob Existential Thomas.
Absolutely.
Any day of the week. No, I mean, you're totally right that all of the Matchbox 20 stuff and all of his solo stuff is so straight-faced that you can't even wish that he was ironic because he can't, like, it's not part of who he is.
Which is strange because he listens to cool music. Like, if you ever see him, like, tweeting about, like, he's, like, tweeting about snail mail and stuff. He loves Wilco. But he himself, it just got filtered out somewhere.
It,
yeah.
Man, like, this is so, yeah, it's, it really is. Like, it like, look, there's so, like, this is like a risk to me. Like this song is like he is putting himself out there to be mocked and made fun of. And look, I don't think Twitter cares enough about Rob Thomas to mock or make fun of something that this is like that this tries to be this emotional
until the 20th anniversary of Smooth anyway.
Yeah. But like this is a genuinely powerful song. I really like it, and you're right. Like 80s gallop is a very good way to describe the sound.
Maybe bordering on the Mumford-esque, but not quite there. It's a little bit synthier. It's a little bit drum-based.
Put this in Walk Me Home in a 2019 Mumford-y playlist, and you're good to go.
There we go. It's a good start.
Stew, baby. I would say, like, again, like what we're saying, my first inclination was definitely to laugh when I started listening to it, but there's something, like, when you realize, like, someone's being so blunt and so straightforward and irony-free, then you're like, you almost feel like an asshole for laughing. Like, it's almost like the joke's on you if you're laughing at it.
Mockery proof.
So, I'm glad you picked this. This was a very... It was not something I was going to listen to, so thank you for choosing this.
That's what I'm here for, Joe.
This is like a perfect like Unterberger encapsulation podcast of Rob Thomas and then Doja Cat and Rico Nancy. Like really good.
Love to give you all facets. I got to bring the whole package to most of your music. Yeah. You know?
Two artists. No one went into 2019 being like, we need to hear more Doja Cat. We need to hear more Rob Thomas, except Andrew Unterberger.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's listen to it. So Rob Thomas. One Less Day, Dying Young.
And I've been running around in circles till I'm dizzy, I can't lie. But every night I go to sleep, it's a day that I survive. I'm not afraid of getting older. One less day from dying young. I see the light go past my shoulder. One less day.
All right.
What a fun show.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, that was really good. Oscar's coming up. What do you guys? Roma's my fave. I love it. I'm hoping it wins.
My fave is The Favorite. Yeah.
Favorite was awesome.
I wish The Favorite was more of a favorite entering this competition.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. You guys know I'm Yorgos Hive. Let's go.
But you got to give your prediction, though, Jason.
Oh, I predicted this morning that Star is Born is going to win Best Picture.
What? There's no way.
Yeah.
I think, actually, if I had to predict, I would say Bohemian Rhapsody is my guess. Which I think is crazy.
That seems more likely to me than Roma. Roma, like, I've said this in, like, 8 meetings already this morning, but Roma is, like, the antithesis of a Best Picture winner. Like, it's too good, basically. Like,
it's too good, it's too arty, too slow.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I just think, like, Bohemian Rhapsody, anytime there's, like, a dead star, a beloved person, they love it. The British bloc, the Brits vote together at the Academy.
It's real, baby.
They love celebrating a beloved British icon. And then also it just made a ton of money. It's the highest grossing, I think, biopic ever. I think they look at that kind of stuff. I think those are...
Jason's still hoping for the write-in vote for Paddington 2.
Yes.
I'm totally with you. Paddington 1 and 2 are some of the best movies I've seen
Paddington
the last 5 2. Years.
The write-in vote. That would be,
this is unusual. We've never had a write-in vote winner before.
Why is there marmalade on the envelope?
Oof.
That's a very good Paddington 2 joke.
Can't wait.
Anyways, and on that note, so go see Paddington 2. Forget all the Best Picture nominees. Go see that. All right. Thank you for listening. As always, we will be back to a normal schedule next week. So we'll catch you then.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.